Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Bible study today. And welcome everybody. And my name is Sarah. And on behalf of our pastors, Pastor Fola and Mommy Wura, I'd like to welcome you all to tonight's Bible studies. And thank you, Pastor and Mommy, for this great opportunity. We trust God to speak tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just going to dive straight into it. As we know that this month of May, our theme is praying always and dwelling in the presence of the Good Shepherd. So today we're going to be diving deep into the word dwell. So our focus for today will be dwell and colon pursuing God in prayer and presence. And as we can as like as we know, what's going on around the world now, there's so much noise, there's so much chaos, there's so much thing going on around the world. And one thing that our Father is doing is that our Father is calling us. He is calling us every day. Is calling us not to just pray occasionally or not to just rush through devotion, but our Father is calling us to dwell, is calling us to walk with Him, is calling us to pursue His presence in prayer. So Jesus, our Good Shepherd, He didn't just teach about prayer, but as we read in the scriptures and as we're going to be reading tonight, we will see that Jesus modeled a life of dwelling and also am anchored in constant communion with our Father. So tonight we're going to be doing a little bit of a study. We're going to be looking at three portraits or three pictures in the scripture. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, he modeled a life of intimacy and also communion in prayer. And we're going to be looking at the disciples on the road to. I tried to pronounce, learn how to pronounce this earlier, but I literally forgot. I think it's called Uma Sauce, something like that. I'm not sure. Umaus, I don't know. But they encountered revelation when they urged Jesus to stay with them. Then we're going to be looking at the picture of Moses in Exodus 33, who refused to move without God's presence. Hallelujah. So before we dive into this, I'm just gonna say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for your presence. We want to say thank you for your goodness. We want to say thank you for your mercy, oh God. Father, we ask, Lord, that even as we delve into your word today, Lord, we ask that your presence will go with us, Lord. We pray that our hearts are open, that our hearts are open, ready to receive your undiluted word in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that even as we look into the scriptures, Lord, we ask that you would reveal us to us, Lord, because as we behold, we should be seeing ourselves. Lord, we ask Holy Spirit that you reveal your word to each and every one of us, even the baby in the womb, that you reveal yourself to each and every one of us tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to be doing quick definition. So the word dwell, why do I keep saying the world? The word dwell means it's a verb and it means to live in, to remain, stay, or to settle with the intention and consistency. So I'm going to repeat it again. The word dwell is a verb. It is a verb and it means to live in, to remain, to stay, or settle with intention and consistency. And when we look into the scriptures, dwell is more than a physical location. It's basically a spiritual and relational posture. So us dwelling, it is not just about the word, and it is not just about a physical location. It is something very spiritual, and it's also a relational posture. When we read Psalm 91, verse 1, the scripture says, media team, if you can put that on the screen for me, thank you. It says, He will dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Some version says he will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So we can see there that dwelling is literally a posture. It may not necessarily mean you are living in a location or something, but it's literally a posture in the scriptural term. And the word dwell is to stay rather than rush. So when we hear the word, you can take it off now. So when we hear the word dwell in a scriptural term, it means to stay. And as I mentioned, what we're looking at today is dwell, pursuing God in prayer and presence. So dwell, pursuing God. So that's the title of the message for today. Dwell, colon, pursuing God in prayer and presence. So dwell is to stay rather than to rush. Number two, dwell is to live in God's presence daily. Number three is to host God intentionally in every part of our lives. And also is to choose communion over convenience. Because when we dwell is not about us rushing outside of the presence of the Lord. Even when it's not convenient, we will commune. So that is what it means to dwell. And as we're looking at, God is teaching us how to dwell, how to abide, how to, you know, pray, how to remain in his presence. It's very important that we understand, you know, this terminologies. So dwelling is literally what happens when God is no longer part of our schedule. So what I mean is, you know, when we don't try to fix God into our schedule, maybe we're trying to like give God, oh, from this time to this time, that's the only time I'm going to fix to speak to God. So dwelling is when we no longer say, oh God, you can only speak to me from 3 to 4 p.m. No, that is not dwelling. Because dwelling is when God interrupts your perfect schedule. That is what dwelling is. It becomes your home. It's no longer like you're visiting. It becomes a residence. So that is mean. That is what it means to dwell. You know, look at like for those who migrated from another country, including myself, to this country, you're living here, you're dwelling. It's no longer like you're visiting. You have taken this place as a dwelling place in the physical sense. Okay. So I'm going to be running through what and why is dwelling in God's presence very important. I'm going to be going into why is dwelling in God's presence important. Amen. So number one, if you're making notes, dwelling in God's presence is important because God's presence is our true home. God's presence is our true home. You know, God created us to dwell. He created us to dwell with him. When you look at the scriptures, you look at Adam and Eve in the garden. God created them to worship. God created them to dwell. It wasn't God's will for them to be separated from him. So dwelling is important because God's presence is our home. And what happened was that, you know, when you read Genesis, you know, sin disrupted that intimacy. But thank God that Jesus restored it. So Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." So dwelling is literally it's not a routine. It's something that we need. We need to dwell. We need to dwell in the house. It is a necessity. Dwelling is not something that we just do once a day, twice a day. You can take that off now. Twice a day. It is a necessity for us. So that's number one. So what I said was God's presence is our true home. That's why dwelling in God's presence is very important. Number two, it is because when we dwell, it transforms us. It transforms us. Prayer, and one thing we need to understand is that prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. As we've learned over time, you know, prayer, it doesn't change God. Prayer doesn't do anything to God. It is us. So dwelling in the presence of the Lord, why is this important? It is important because it transforms us. When we look at 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, it says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." when you look at the word being transformed, so it's something that is not just a one-time thing. It is something that happens as you behold, as we keep dwelling, as we keep going back, as we keep revisiting the Father. We are being, it's a work that is being done on the inside of us. It says, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So from what we can see, and it says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So what we can see here is that dwelling, it leads to, number one, it leads to renewed minds. It leads to our minds being, if you can leave that scripture up, blessing, thank you. Dwelling, it leads to from 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, as I said, number two, dwelling transforms us. So it leads to renewed minds. Our minds are being renewed when we dwell in the presence of the Lord. Number two, we have healed heart. Maybe there are things that has offended us throughout the day or a day before. And also we are aligned to God's desire. So as I mentioned earlier, that we are the one who benefits from dwelling. It is not God. So number two, dwelling transforms us. So number three point, we're still talking about why it is important to dwell in God's presence. Number three, it is because without God's presence, we are literally powerless. You can take the scripture off. Without God's presence, without his presence, we can see this in Exodus 33 verse 15, where Moses was saying that if your presence do not go with us, it is not going. Like if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. So we can see from that scripture that Moses, he prefers the presence of God even over progress. Moses preferred the presence of God over his achievements, over his accolades, because he knows that without the presence of the Lord, nothing is going to work out. So, and one thing that I want us to really understand is that sometimes we can have the vision, but without the presence of God, without God directing us, we can write the vision down. We can make it plain as much as we can. But if we do not have the presence of the Lord, we will lack direction. We will lack strength when things are happening left, right, and center, and you don't even know how you're going to bring this vision to life. When we don't have the presence of the Lord, we lack direction, we lack strength, we lack protection. You know, when you remember the sons of Sceva, they wanted to chase out a demon, but they do not have the presence of the Lord. They were going to operate under no presence, no covering at all. And the Spirit of the Lord is asking me to say to someone right now is that, have you been operating under no covering? Some of us, we are exposing ourselves. We are no longer, and I'm not even talking about maybe covering of a person, but the covering of God. He that dwells in the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place. That is the covering of the Most High. They wanted to chase out demons, but they don't have the authority to do that because they were not in the fold of the Lord. They were not covered. They were not in his presence. So they didn't have any power to do what they were going to do. They didn't have any power. They were powerless. So it is very important that before we embark on any journey, before we embark, children, before you go to school, when you go to school, it is very important that you ask for the presence of God. As you're going to your classrooms, I'm speaking to children now and adults too, we're all children, but I'm speaking to the children in language that they can understand. When you're going to your playing ground, ask that the Lord, go with me. No, I don't want you, don't send your angel with me. It is you, Lord, that should go with me. So when we are embarking on journeys without the presence of the Lord, without the full backing of the Lord, nothing will yield. Nothing will yield. No fruit will be yielded. So without God's presence, we are powerless. We literally have nothing. So number four, it is because prayer anchors us in a stormy world. We have to dwell because there's so many crazy things going on around the world. And if you don't have that stamina, that's dwelling consistently in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be tossed, you know, front and back. Literally. So prayer, it anchors us. And we know that we are a praying church. We've been taught how to pray day in, day out. We pray every 12 noon. We pray every 6 p.m. I want to believe that's not the only time we pray as individuals. The latter part in Philippians 4:6-7 says, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. So dwelling in God's presence, you know, dwelling in prayer, it helps us to be stabilized even in the midst of chaos. You know, as Apostle Sam was praying earlier, you know, the home office are changing the rule. They're changing the immigration system. But in this presence where you don't even understand, you've already planned yourself in the next 2 years that you're going to get your visa, you're going to get your residency permit. And now they've changed all the rules. It is something to be upset about, to start getting worried. But the Lord says, do not be anxious. So it is prayer, even in the middle of the chaos, the middle of anxiety, the middle of uncertainty, dwelling in prayer, it will stabilize us. So when we dwell, we don't visit God when things are hard, because you've been a dweller. I would say that. I would use that word. You've been a dweller. You've consistently dwelled in the presence of the Lord. So when all of those things are happening around you, you are stabilized. Your roots have already gone deeply rooted on the inside because you are a dweller. You are a dweller. Number five, it is because God responds to the hungry heart. So why is this important? It is because God responds to a hungry heart. The Bible says in James 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we can see on the scripture. Draw near to God. Luke 24 verse 29 says, they urged him strongly, stay with us. God doesn't force intimacy on us. God doesn't force intimacy. He waits for us to invite him. God waits. He responds to a heart that is full of hunger. A heart that is full. A heart that is full of hunger. In this season, it is those who hunger and thirst. That is what Matthew 5 verse 6 says. It is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the ones that will be filled. They are the ones that will be filled. So it is important for us to dwell because God responds to those who are hungry at heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now I'm just going to go quickly into the life of Jesus, into the life of Moses, and also into the life of the disciples. And there are a few things that we can see. You know, Jesus is our model. He's literally the role model we need in terms of understanding us dwelling and pursuing the presence of God. Jesus is the perfect picture, is a perfect image. You know, number one of the things that Jesus did, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the pattern of his prayer life, number one, Jesus prioritized solitude and quiet time. He prioritized solitude and his quiet time. Can we have Mark 1:35, please? The scripture says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus, he prioritized solitude and his intimacy with God. You know, morning may not work for you. It may be late in the night. Leave the scripture up. It may be late in the night. It may be in the afternoon. Whatever time works for you. That was when works for Jesus. And usually when it's in the morning, it's much more quieter. You know, your spirit is still calm. I like doing, you know, my studying in the morning, because then I've not received 20 WhatsApp messages, you know, bang, bang. I'm still okay. I've not received so many messages and I'm still calm because I'm able to focus. That's when I'm able to think properly. So Jesus, he prioritized solitude and quiet time, intimacy. He withdrew himself often to pray. Luke 5 verse 16. Do we withdraw ourselves often to pray? Or it is only when we pray at 12 noon, or when we pray at 6 p.m., or when we have the interdenominational prayer, or when somebody is praying, your favorite person is praying on YouTube or on Instagram, that's the only time you pray. We need to create all these pockets during the day where we just take time, even if it's 2 minutes, even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's 10 minutes, we are just praying. We are not neglecting. We are prioritizing solitude and quiet time as Jesus did. Even Jesus prayed. Who am I not to pray? Even devil went after Jesus. So who am I that devil will not want to chase after me? So that's the way we should be thinking, that even Jesus, our good shepherd, he prayed. He was constantly going to the Father to pray. He was constantly dwelling in the presence of the Father. Number two, Jesus prayed before any big decision. He was always asking God for guidance. In Luke 6, 12 to 13, before he chose the 12 disciples, he spent all night praying. He chose from a place of prayer. Before he made any decision, a life-changing decision. Because maybe if he had not prayed, he wouldn't have chosen a Judas. And we knew that Judas was part of God's will for you and I to receive salvation. So before Jesus made any big decision, some of us, we are at the verge of making a decision that if you make the wrong decision, it's going to affect your children's children. The Bible says a wise man leaves inheritance. The Bible did not say a wise man leaves consequences or leaves the things that would damage the life of his children's children. So whatever it is we are doing now, because it's going to affect our children. Look at the area of your life, and you can maybe even see maybe where your parents made mistake and it's affecting you now. It may be because they didn't seek for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus has shown us this in the scripture. Before we make any decision, children, before you write your exams, before you study, before you do anything, make sure you go to Jesus. Jesus is your best friend. Okay, children? Jesus, he is your best friend. He is your best friend. He can tell you anything. You can hear Jesus clearly, children. Jesus wants to speak to you. You can hear him clearly. You just need to have conversation with him. He can hear you whenever, when you're in your class, even when you're having your shower, you know, when you're in the toilet, when you're walking, when you're with your friends. So Jesus, before he made any big decision, he sought alignment with God's will, because he wanted to be aligned with the will of God. So how do we apply this in our own lives? We need to involve God in every decision. We should not make God dwelling, praying, our last resort. It should be our first response. And it's something that I'm consciously learning. You know, yesterday something was going on. I was having like family emergencies, and I'm just like, and I was about to go into a meeting at 10 p.m. And I was like, God, this is going too much. God, you need to help me deal with this. And as I said those words, I felt like a burden was lifted, and I was able to concentrate on what I was doing because I asked the Lord to take charge. I'm just giving that as an example. So number three, Jesus prayed in times of struggle. in the time where Jesus was struggling. Jesus prayed. So who am I to be forming strong woman? Who am I to be forming a macho man? Who am I to be forming boss lady? I know I'm the brand boss, but not when it comes to something is showing me shege, you know, when I need to, you know, surrender to the Lord. Even Jesus surrendered in times of struggle. It was not easy for Jesus. When Jesus was like, oh boy, this cross. When Jesus saw that, oh my goodness, what is about to befall me? I don't even understand it. When Jesus, in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Luke 22, 41 to 44, you can read it in your own time. Even in agony, he surrendered to the will of the Father. And it was from the place of prayer that he received strength. He poured his heart to the Father. Jesus poured his heart to the Father. Jesus told God how he was feeling. Jesus was vulnerable to his Father. So who am I? Who am I to come into the presence of the Lord and I'm not crying? Who cares about the mascara? Who cares about the wigs? Who cares about not anything falling apart? Even Jesus, he was crying. He was sweating blood. It must have been a messy scene. You remember maybe when you're watching those Nollywood movies and someone is crying and, you know, things started drooling from their nose. I could imagine Jesus just crying and just like, my God, oh my God, you know, like Jesus crying and crying and crying. Jesus, when he was in the season of struggle, he surrendered, he prayed. So what area of your life have you been, you're still holding on to? That you're thinking, oh, I can get through without surrendering it to the Lord. Be like Jesus. Number four, Jesus prayed with others, community. Jesus was not a loner. No, he wasn't. Jesus, oh, I'm just going to pray me, myself, and I. Yes, you need to. We saw that Jesus practiced solitude. He went by himself to pray without anybody. Then he also made sure he prayed with people. So this is the model that we need to model. Jesus, he prayed with others, community. In Luke 9:28, he took Peter, James, and John, the kind of people he took as well. He didn't take anybody. He knew the kind of people he took. Who have you been calling to come and pray with you? Who have you been sharing your whole problem in your marriage? You tell this person, you tell that person, oh, your husband is doing this. You tell the whole world. Instead of you to sit down and pray about it. Jesus, he prayed with others. In Matthew 26, 36 to 38, you can refer to that later. He invited them to watch and pray with him. Jesus has shown us in all of the scriptures that we should not isolate ourselves. There is power in united prayers. For those who are not joining the 12 noon prayer, I don't know for you. For those who are not joining the 6 p.m. prayer, I honestly cannot really help you because I don't know why you're not joining. You're in a country where it's not like your Wi-Fi is not working. It's not like you don't have a Zoom. 6 p.m. prayer, we have it. 12 noon prayer, we have it. So Jesus, he didn't neglect praying with other people. You know that you're in a season where you can't pray. Ask people, trusted people to pray for you. Be honest, be vulnerable. So Jesus prayed with other people. And number five, Jesus' prayers were rooted in God's truth. You know, when you read John 17, it's a very long read, but you can read that. Jesus was praying his high priest prayer. It was based on literally the truth, the mission, unity, so on. Jesus' prayers were rooted in God's word. So that's why even when we pray, we should pray scripturally. We should ask the Lord, Lord, what scriptures should I pray with? We shouldn't just pray with mere words, because praying with scriptures, it carries more power because we are literally praying the word of God. We are praying the word of God. We are praying the word of God. So when we are praying, we need to pray with scriptures. Hallelujah. We're going to go into, so that's Jesus. I'm going to tie them together at the end. That's Jesus. Now I'm going to go into Moses and the children of Israel, but really focusing on Moses. And when you read Exodus 33, you know, just to give you a bit of context, you know, the Israelite, they are just sinned with their golden calf. You remember when they built a golden calf in 32? And Moses literally now intercedes on their behalf. And God told Moses that he was going to send his angel and to go with them, but not himself, because that is literally what they deserve. If I was God, well, thank God I'm not God, I wouldn't have even sent them anything. Do you get what I mean? Like, even angel self, I think God tried. Do you get what I mean? Because you cannot be wasting God's resources. So God tells Moses that he was going to send his angel to go with them, but not himself. And Moses responds with desperation for God himself and not just asking God's blessings. So that's just like putting it in context. So number one, when you read the account of Exodus 33 from verse 12 to 23, you know, we saw there that prayer is literally not a dialogue. Like prayer is a dialogue. It is not a monologue, as we have heard over time. Pastor has spoken to us about this so many times. We saw in verse 12 to 13, if you can bring that up, please. Verse 12 to 13, we can see that Moses was speaking to God. Moses was saying, we'll go to verse 13, or that's not what I want. No, 33, Exodus 33. Isn't it? Yeah, 30, sorry, 33. I think I sent you the wrong. Anyways, 33. But it was when Moses was saying, "You have said, I know you by name, teach me your ways, blah, 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 blah." You know, Moses was having a conversation with God. Moses was speaking in honesty. Moses was, the picture I'm trying to paint is that prayer is a dialogue with God. Even as, you know, Moses was communing with God, he was waiting for the Lord to speak back to him. So even as we dwell, we speak to God and God gives us his instruction. If we don't wait to hear back from God, how are we supposed to know what we ought to do? There is no way. It is not a one-way conversation. Imagine you're in a relationship with someone and you're just talking. You're talking at them, but they're not saying anything to you. It doesn't make any sense, right? It just makes you like a crazy person. Like, you're just talking and nobody's responding back to you. So we learn from that prayer is a dialogue. It is not a monologue. And number two, we can see that God's presence is non-negotiable for true rest. When we look at verse 14 of Exodus 33, if whatever version you have it, you can just bring it. Hallelujah. So verse 14, where it says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." You know, rest does not necessarily mean maybe like a location or a place. Rest here is talking about God giving you peace, assurance. God is giving us clarity, because without his presence, we will literally strive in our own strength without the presence of the Lord. So without God's presence in our prayer life, we literally get drained. We get distracted. We don't have any direction. So number three, true intimacy with God desires him above his gifts. When we are in true intimacy with God, we would literally desire God more above. We would not be seeking for his hand, but we'll be seeking to know God's ways. You know, Moses was not, he wasn't content with God saying he was going to send them angelic help. He wanted God himself. Moses wanted God himself. And we can see in verse 16 as well of Exodus chapter 33 that it was talking about, you know, "For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, and I your people? Is it not in going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people?" So God's presence, he sets us apart. It is not our accolades. It is not the things we do. it is not the whatever miracles, whatever, you know, pray, we pray for people and get answers. No, that's not what sets us apart. It is the presence of the Lord that sets us apart as a believer. In our workplace, are we carrying the presence of the Lord? In our house, do we carry the presence of the Lord? And we saw in verse 17 as well, where because of Moses's, you know, I would say intimacy, and God says, I will do the very thing he has asked for. He has asked for, because he dwelled. He was bold in asking. He was bold in asking. So now let's look at the disciples in one of, and this scripture is one of our key scriptures as well for this month, Luke 24 from 28 to 31. You know, this was when, you know, Jesus appeared to two disciples walking to, I don't know how to pronounce this word, but I learned how to pronounce it before, but I totally forgot. From, it's, I think it's Emmaus. Yeah, I think it is. Can't remember. But after, and this was after his resurrection. So, you know, Jesus had died, you know, he's resurrected, but they didn't really know. You know, they were discouraged because they didn't recognize him, but they didn't know that it was Jesus that was literally walking with them. They didn't know that it was him that was working with them. And when we look at verse 28, it says, he acted as though he would go further. He acted as though he would go further. And we can see here, and what I said earlier about God does not force himself on us. He invites us. So God's presence is never forced. Jesus was with them, but intimacy required invitation. Even though Jesus was with them, but they still needed to invite Jesus. So sometimes, even when maybe we're praying, maybe God just needs us to just press in a little bit more before he can speak, before he can reveal. Maybe he just needs us to press a little bit more. He just needed us to press a little bit more. And we saw in verse 29, he says, they urged him strongly, stay with us. Dwellers are pursuers of, they are pursuers of God's presence. Dwellers, those who dwell, they are pursuers of God's presence. They are always pursuing the presence of God. They didn't just accept his company. These two disciples, they didn't just accept his company. They urged him. They asked him to stay. They asked him to stay because they were hungry for deeper fellowship. So have we been asking Jesus to stay with us? Have we been asking him to stay with us as the deer pants? Have we been panting for the living waters? Have we been asking Jesus to stay with us? And verse 29 talks about that God, like he went in to stay with them. When you read 29, thank you. And it says, at the last part, it says, so he went in to stay with them. He went in to stay with them. As I mentioned earlier, that God responds to invitation. God doesn't just barge into your space. You know, Jesus entered their home. Not just, you know, they were speaking before, not just conversation, not just their conversation, but it came into their home. The presence has now shifted from it being from the outside, from public to personal. That is what it means to dwell. You know, when we dwell with God, it moves from just saying, you know, we're just talking about him, to God being, I can even say the guest of honor in our lives. And when we look at verse 30, he says, can you go to verse 30 for me, please? Where he says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. So intimacy happens at the table. You know, when we were reading Psalm 23, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. when God prepares a table, God is also seated at that table. God does not just prepare a table and just leave you to it. So intimacy happens at the table. Intimacy happens when we dwell, when we stay. And while they were at the table, Jesus chose to reveal himself in the breaking of the bread. He was right at the table when they invited him. Thank you. He was right at the table when they invited him. You know, their eyes opened. When you dwell, dwelling in God's presence, dwelling, it brings revelation. Because they dwelled with Jesus at the table. They got a revelation. Their eyes opened. It wasn't while they were walking. No, you remember, they met him. They were walking and then they invited him. Yes. So maybe you've been walking with Jesus. You've just been walking, just been, you know, talking. You've just been doing all of those things. Then you've invited him. Then you ask him to stay. Then at the time when you are dwelling, when you are feasting together at the table, then that was when they recognized Jesus. They recognized who he was. You know, when you look at this three picture, the picture of Jesus, the picture of Moses, the picture of the two disciples. You know, Jesus was, you can even call Jesus booked and busy. Jesus was busy, like, Jesus was booked and busy. He was always going from here to there. He was busy. There was so much demand on Jesus. There was so much demand on him, but he would withdraw himself to seek after the Father's heart, to commune with the Father, to commune. So this is teaching us to also learn how to commune with the Father. We look at the disciples. They were confused. They were discouraged. They didn't know what they were going to do again. Their leader is gone. But still, they urged Jesus to stay with them. And their eyes were opened when they invited him, when they dwelled with him. Their eyes were open. Moses and the Israelites, they were heading to the promised land. But they were at risk without going with God's presence. And Moses refused that without God, he asked, he begged, he practically begged for God to go with them. He begged to see the glory of God. So I wanted to just, you know, ponder on these questions. Like, am I urging Jesus to stay or just letting him pass by? Don't forget, dwellers, they're the ones that are pursuers of God's presence. The more you dwell, the more you see that you are constantly pursuing the presence of the Lord. Do we invite God daily into our activities, into every part of our lives, into emergencies, into things that we're doing? Do we seek God more than we seek his hands? Do we seek God's heart more than we seek? I'm speaking to myself as well. Are we willing to pause and dwell long enough to recognize him? Are we willing to dwell so that we can recognize him? Are we willing to dwell? Are we willing to dwell?
Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. I just want us to just, you know, let's just thank God for the word that he has brought tonight. And just, let's just ask God that we will indeed dwell in his presence. That we will be dwellers. We will be dwellers of his presence. That we wouldn't just be a visitor in his dwelling place. That we'll be a son of the soil, daughter of the soil. That the Lord would open our eyes. So all of these models, the things that we have seen this evening, that the Lord would open up our eyes, that we will run to the word constantly. We will not just be visiting, coming in, coming out, doing like a yo-yo. That we are filled with the Spirit of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. We are filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm praying for an urgency, a quickening in our spirit, that we will be dwellers, because there are things that the Lord wants to reveal to us. There are dimensions that the Lord wants us to get into, but until we dwell, until we are dwellers, until we dwell in His presence, there is no way that the Lord can reveal His heart to us. Enough of seeking the Lord's hands, enough of always only going to the Lord when we're in trouble. But now the Lord wants us to come to Him, even without Him having to tell us. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. Bring us to a level of so much intimacy with You, oh God. Oh, Father, we give You all the glory. Father, we give You all the praise. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen.